text comes from the Old Testament appointed for today, Joshua 24. These verses. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God, and Joshua said to all the people, "Now therefore fear Yahweh and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve Yahweh. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve Yahweh, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake Yahweh to serve other gods. For it is Yahweh our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And Yahweh drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who live in the land. Therefore we also will serve Yahweh, for he is our God." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whom will you serve? That is the question Joshua poses to you and me today, to each one of us individually, and to all of us collectively. Whom will you serve? It is the key question at every baptism, at every confirmation, at every wedding, every ordination, every Sunday. In fact, it is the key question every day. For every day you and I stand at the crossroads. Will we go this way or that way? Whom will we serve today? Joshua first pressed this question to the tribes and leaders of Israel gathered at Shechem in order to renew the covenant. It was Joshua's last speech before he died to the people. He was concerned about the future and the next generation. Would the Reformation hold, or would they revert back to their old ways? Old habits are hard to break. God had just given them the promised land, but now each tribe faced the difficult task of settling its own allotted territory. Joshua was nervous. He had a right to be nervous. Ancient Israel did not have a very good track record so far. And what was Joshua nervous about? Not about the prosperity of their economy or the efficiency of their political administration, but about their theological future, their future with Yahweh. So Joshua pressed the question, whom will you serve? Will you try to conform to the gods of the nation, to the nations, and serve their gods? Or will you serve Yahweh, the maker of the heavens and the earth? Will you serve the God who called Abraham away from vain idols to himself and showed him the land of Canaan? Will you serve the God who through Moses led you out of bondage in Egypt and brought you to himself in covenant at Sinai? Will you serve the God who led you through the dangers of the wilderness and brought you to the promised land? Will you serve the God who conquered the idolatrous pagans dwelling in the land, the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites? You see, the ancient Near East was a very religious world. There were no atheists or secularists back then. Every nation had its gods and goddesses. And the attraction constantly tempted Israel to serve the gods and goddesses of the other nations, such as Baal and Asherah. That way they could get more crops, kids, and cattle, since supposedly Baal and Asherah gave fertility. That way they could fit in with the surrounding nations and gain acceptance and even prestige among the other nations. It was a constant temptation. How about today? Oh, the idols might change a little bit, but people still serve a variety of idols. For many people, God is something to be used for their own self-advantage. They want a God who will give them inner peace or psychological well-being or happiness, or good health, or social and political justice, or entertainment, or a strong America. But in each case, they want a God who will serve their purposes, who is a means to an end, who will serve their own agenda. Such a God is nothing other than an idol, something to be used and manipulated. In our text, Joshua calls us to get our heads straight, to recognize who's who. In the Old Testament, God does not serve Israel. Israel serves God. God is the direct object of the verb to serve, avah, never the subject. The one we serve is the God of Israel, the maker of the heavens and the earth. As one of our props puts it, God is God. God is God and we're not. We're in his hands, he's not in our hands. He made us, we don't make him. He shapes and molds us, we don't shape and mold and re-image him. He constructs and deconstructs and reconstructs us, we don't construct and deconstruct and reconstruct him. He is our creator and we are his creatures. He is our redeemer and we are his redeemed. He is our baptizer and we are his baptized. He does not fear and trust in us, but by virtue of his spirit, we fear and trust in him. He does not worship us, we worship him. He does not serve our agenda, we serve his agenda. The God we serve is the God who has a narrative. He is not some generic, impersonal force permeating all of reality to be used, a la Star Wars. God is the God of Israel, the maker of the heavens and the earth. He's not a lifeless idol. Idols can't do anything. They can't hurt. They can't help. But the true God is the one who made us. He is the Semper Deus Agens, the God who is always active. The true God does stuff. In addition to creating and preserving the universe, he has done mighty deeds of salvation in space and time, certain deeds in history on planet Earth for the salvation of the world. Joshua 24 recounts some of those deeds, those saving deeds of God. The creator of all things came down and called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob away from their vain idols to himself and showed them the promised land. Many years later, Jacob's descendants found themselves in bondage to Pharaoh in Egypt. And the Creator came down again and conquered Pharaoh. And through Moses, he led them out of Egypt and brought them to himself at Sinai and entered into a covenant relationship with them. He led them through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. And he defeated the idolatrous nations in the land and gave Israel the land. The true God does things in history, and he does good things even for sinners, even for sinners. Abraham was worshiping idols when God called him. God delivered the Israelites even in spite of their constant murmuring and rebelling against him. He gave them the promised land even though they did not deserve it, but by virtue of his own faithfulness to his promises made long ago. The true God does good things even for sinners. And his narrative continues, and it even gets better and more wonderful as you go on. In the fullness of time, the God of Israel, the creator of the heavens and the earth, sent his only begotten Son into the world, who took to himself our flesh and blood and lived our life, who lived a thoroughly human life, became one of us. Isn't that like God? Our Maker stoops to help us even though we're sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus Christ gave his body and shed his blood to free us from bondage, a bondage far greater than the bondage in Egypt, a bondage to ourselves and to our idols and to our godlessness. He defeated our enemies for us. He made us his own and ratified a new covenant for us, a covenant that cannot be broken. And on the third day, he was raised again from the dead as the guarantee of our future resurrection unto eternal life. We are now his people, his new Israel. Whom will you serve? That is the question Joshua presses. Whom will you serve today, this week, this year, in your ministry and life? Whom will you serve? You, your family, your classmates, the flock committed to your care. Serve the God of Israel, who called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob out of darkness into his marvelous light. Serve the God of Israel, who through Moses led his people out of bondage and entered into covenant with them. Serve the God of Israel, who in the fullness of time sent his only begotten Son into the world to free you from bondage, bondage to sin, bondage to death, bondage to self, so that we might be his own. Serve the God of Israel, whose Spirit creates and sustains faith in your heart. Serve the God of Israel, whose Son offered his body and shed his blood on the cross to establish a new covenant for you. Serve the God of Israel, Jesus Christ himself, who will now give you his very own body and his very own blood in the Holy Sacrament, and with it all of the benefits of the new covenant, the forgiveness of sins, oneness with him, and eternal life. He is your God, O Israel. Amen. Now may the God of peace strengthen and preserve us in true faith unto life.